This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Anytime I hear that music or any of the other NFL theme music on TV, I get excited because I'm a big NFL fan. But I do have a beef with the NFL, particularly with the league and the owners, when it comes to the way they push around people like you and me. I don't mean people who go to the games, because I don't go to the games. I enjoy them for free in my own living room where there's no line for the bathroom and the beverages are much cheaper. No, I have a problem with them as a taxpayer when they try to blackmail cities into giving them new stadiums or improving the ones where they already exist. I live in St. Louis, where the Rams have a lease with the city for the Dome in downtown St. Louis, and that lease includes a clause in the contract that says that if the Dome is not in one of the top eight cities in terms of quality of the Dome, in terms of the way the field is and the boxes and the entire physical setup of the Dome, if it's not in the top quarter of the league, well, then the Rams can break the lease after 5 years. Every 5 years they can look at this and they can leave. And so the Rams can essentially use that clause to hold the city, the region, hostage until they get what they want. Now, the Rams are owned by Stan Kroenke, who, in addition to having some Walmart dollars in his checking account, also happens to own some other sports teams all across America. He's a billionaire. Why can't he build his own damn stadium? That's my question, and the question of a lot of people across America. Unfortunately, none of those people ever stand up and get into positions where they can prevent this from happening. What Greg Easterbrook calls the fleecing of taxpayers by the NFL. Greg writes about this in a brand new book called The King of Sports, Football's Impact on America, and I've asked him to join me here today to talk about it. Hi, Greg, how are you?
Hello, Paul. I'm fine.
You see that situation going on all across the country with the NFL, don't you?
Yes. In my book, King of Sports, I estimate that roughly $1 billion a year is transferred from usually from state taxpayers, but from American taxpayers generally, to NFL owners, most of whom are billionaires, all of whom are in the multimillionaire category, all of whom could afford to pay this themselves. And if a fraction of that amount of money went to a welfare mother, there would be outrage. Instead, it's corporate welfare, in this case for professional football. For some reason, we consider it normal.
That's right. If we call it a public subsidy, it sounds like something, well, we really have to do that. But if you call it what it is, what you just called it, corporate welfare, now you can get people's attention because that word welfare is in there. But most people don't seem to care, Greg.
Well, one of the topics that I address in the book is why we consider it normal for pro football teams to be subsidized and also for college teams to be tax-favored and so on. And I think if you go dial your brain back 50 years to the 1960s when the old AFL and NFL merged and started on the road to becoming the juggernaut that they are today, whose games, by the way, I agree with you, are terrific games. I love the games. It's not the games are not the issue. The social impact is the issue. 50 years ago, owners could not have afforded to build stadiums themselves. And at that time, stadiums were viewed as a public good that would be open to the public, and subsidies for construction of a stadium where football would be played would be used for many other purposes. At that time, sports facilities were viewed roughly as public libraries are viewed as something that can't happen unless they're subsidized. And so we started this tradition of taxpayers paying for football stadia. Well, that was 50 years ago. Now the NFL takes in $10 billion a year. The owners are at least multimillionaires, usually billionaires. They could pay for all the stuff themselves. But they turn to the public and say, well, the tradition is that you pay all my expenses, so pay my expenses. Times have changed, but our view of football, our social view of football from the political standpoint, has not changed.
Would it be different if the city said, okay, we'll build a new stadium, but you know those concession stands and everything else inside there and the ticket prices and all that sort of stuff? We're going to keep that. We're essentially going to build a place where you can play your games and then sell the rights to those things to people who want to put them on TV. But all the money that's made inside the stadium is going to go to us because we own the stadium.
Well, depending on what city you go to, almost all teams have deals where they pay either a token rent to the city or to whatever the public authority that owns the stadium is. This is in the cases where the public owns the stadium. In some cases, the team owns the stadium. Or they have splits of concessions and parking and so on. So there is some money transferred. It's always a fraction of what the public puts on the table that the owner of the NFL gives back. But I'll give you a different scenario for how to fix this problem. You just said, well, we'll let you copyright all the images you make in our public stadiums. What if we didn't? What if copyright law was amended to say that images created in publicly funded facilities cannot be copyrighted, and thus you and I could form our own network and show the NFL and so on? If copyright law was changed in that way, the NFL would immediately repay every dime that it's received from taxpayers from stadium construction so that it could continue to copyright its game broadcasts, and then this whole financial complaint about the NFL would be resolved.
Isn't part of the problem also here that Congress screwed this up when they gave the NFL tax-exempt status?
Yes, there were two pieces of legislation, one in 1961, one in 1966, again when there was far less money in professional sports than there is today, that granted the NFL both tax-exempt status for its headquarters. This makes you know whether you want to cry or laugh. NFL headquarters at 345 Park Avenue in New York City is tax-exempt. $10 billion operation that not only pays Roger Goodell, the commissioner, $30 million a year, that pays several other executives $5 to $10 million a year. On paper, it's pretending to be a charitable enterprise and not paying taxes. The second thing that Congress did in the 1960s was grant an antitrust exemption to the NFL. Everybody knows that Major League Baseball got an antitrust exemption in the 1920s from the Supreme Court. Football's was granted by Congress, and thus is much easier to alter than the baseball one that was the result of a Supreme Court decision. And in return for an antitrust exemption, just imagine what Apple would pay for an antitrust exemption. Congress got essentially nothing for the public in return. It was just a handout.
You know what sickens me about this is municipalities and states are broke. They don't have any money. I keep saying this in the Rams case. The city of St. Louis and the state of Missouri don't have money. In fact, they have to get more money to qualify as broke. So why would they even consider giving it to a billionaire who owns a sports team here? I would say to him, you know what, if you can find other people to blackmail, go ahead.
Well, that's a good question. And I asked that question in The King of Sports. Why doesn't a populist champion arise who would oppose handouts to NFL teams? Now, we have a little bit of progress in the right direction. The city of Miami and the state taxpayers of Florida just refused. The owner of the Miami Dolphins wanted $500 million handout. He himself is a billionaire. And the local and state taxpayers said no. I think that's possibly a watershed moment. We'll see what happens in St. Louis.
Well, a big problem for Stan Kroenke is the Rams suck. So, you know, we're not talking about the New England Patriots or the Denver Broncos or even the Dallas Cowboys here. You got a team that barely has people watching it on TV or going to the stadium.
Well, yeah, the Rams are bad this year, but that changes from year to year. And that really doesn't have anything to do with how you structure the finance of a stadium deal.
Would you quickly tell the story about Honolulu and the Pro Bowl just to illustrate what's wrong with this whole system?
Well, this is a story where the money numbers are minor compared to other things, but they show you what the principle is. 3 years ago, the state of Hawaii had a huge budget deficit. They were cutting spending on public schools and public health care. The NFL, which traditionally has its Pro Bowl in Honolulu, said that it would take the game away from Honolulu unless it received a handout from the state legislature, and the state legislature gave the wealthy owners of the NFL $4 million to keep the game in Honolulu. Now, it's bad enough that the greedy owners were willing to take that money. What was really bad is that the state legislature was willing to be blackmailed, and they gave in.
And as you point out, that's money that could have gone to schools, et cetera, in a state that was running a deficit. They didn't have the money.
They did not. And people, and I think some residents of Hawaii said, well, even though it's a lot of money, in the long run, we're better off having the Pro Bowl here every year. Maybe they are. But the owners of the NFL didn't need that $4 million. They could have afforded to stage the game there on their own. Even if they're billionaires, billionaires like expensive gifts, so they took the subsidy.
Of course. And we all know that without the Pro Bowl, no one would go to Hawaii.
Absolutely not. The entire economy of the whole Pacific area would collapse without the Pro Bowl. Have you ever watched the Pro Bowl? I love football, but I never watch
it. Oh, it's the most boring thing. It's worse than preseason football. All right, maybe not worse. There is nothing worse. Greg Easterbrook's book is called The King of Sports, Football's Impact on America. It's a great read, and I hope that it has some sort of impact on America, Greg. Thanks for joining me here today.
Thank you for your time, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This show is called America Weekend. We don't shut down. We're here every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Radio Networks.
America Weekend.